SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline with the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching, listen, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM channel 159.
It's official, people. The best hour of your day is underway. It's Moneyline on a Monday, an Armchair Quarterback Monday. I love these days. There's so days. There's so much to talk about. There really is. It's Kevin, I'm Donnie, you know the drill, we're going to get after it today. Tune in, Sports Grid On Demand, on the YouTube channel, say hello, say your piece, any plays you got for tonight, we know we love that here. SportsGridRadio.com, SportsGrid.com, Sports Grid On Demand, everything. Thank you for the support here, but it's time to get down to the business here. I sent a tweet, Kevin, to you yesterday that said, It's now official. Like, the Eagles have arrived, Kevin, in 2024.
It is one of the best tweets I saw all of yesterday. It's probably Donnie's tweet and then anything related to Cooper DeJean lighting up Derrick Henry. And let me just say, you know, Donnie, like, and this is the reality, right? I'm an Eagle fan. Donnie, of course, a diehard Birds fan as well. Donnie, nobody I think would mistake for being biased except for people who don't probably pay attention and just assume everyone is. I always try and explain to people that when it comes to these picks, the bias does not creep in, because then I would be doing a bad job. Last year's Super Bowl pick, Buffalo. The year before that, the Denver Broncos with Russell Dang Wilson. I just believed in this Eagles team. And all of the reasons why were on display yesterday. The fact that the offensive line, you know, was always going to be great. The fact that the offense itself needed a little bit of, it just needed a win. It needed something feel good. That's what Saquon Barkley was. And you can see how they rally around Saquon's excellence. And make no mistake about it, Saquon is excellent. It's the fact that Jalen Carter is defensive player of the year good on that D line. And it is the fact that you can get impact players at defensive back in the early rounds of the NFL draft, and somehow the Eagles got cornerback one and cornerback two, the most desperate positions they needed to address in this past year's draft, and both of them continue to be excellent. I believe coming into the year, they were the best team in football. Listen, right now, people would tell you they're at minimum, Donnie, one of the five best teams in football, and they are, again, clear-cut, tier number one Super Bowl contenders.
Absolutely. And by the way, watching that game yesterday, I said, you know, on the set, I said, I think we're going to get the under. That one hit. But I would have taken the Baltimore Ravens yesterday as a straight side. I said, this is a great matchup for the Ravens. They're at home. It's what they do. They win at home against good football teams. You're not going to be more physical than them. You might be able to try to match it. That ended yesterday. The Philadelphia Eagles came in and said, oh, Ravens, you think you're tough and physical? Watch us take you into the weight room. But here's what I like the best out of yesterday. It's apparent, like, Howie Roseman is a very good general manager. He's almost like a Madden GM at times where, like, the fans are like, boy, I wonder if he can cook something up here. And he always does. And as you just said astutely there, you got maybe the best cornerback in the business right now, Quinion Mitchell, on the outside as a rookie. And you go, hey, you know what? We're going to get the second best defensive player in the draft here in the secondary as Cooper DeJean. Like, ooh, hurts his hamstring. Ah, maybe it's not his year. One of the best slot corners in the NFL, which is absolutely tremendous. And that's not even the focus, what I'm going to do. Vic Fangio, competent defense, awesome. Let's get back to the offense here. Here's why, if you're looking to back the Philadelphia Eagles, it makes some sense. And I talked about Howie Roseman. He swung and missed 15 different times at the number three wide receiver for the Eagles. Just can't get it right. Jahan Dotson, one catch, 7 yards when he's playing like 50 snaps a game. Just not even lookable. Paris Campbell was active yesterday, had one target, no yards there at that point. Britton Covey comes back, had a target, no yards. Dallas Goedert, who's a tight end, 35 yards. Let's get to the punch here. A.J. Brown's a very good wideout, 5 for 66.
Yep.
You would have figured in a lot of these type of games where you say, Kevin, you can't run the football against the Baltimore Ravens. Forget about it again, Saquon Barkley had some success. Leave that there. I'm going to need Jalen Hurts to step up to the plate right now and absolutely ball. Kevin, he went 11 of 19 for 118 yards, a touchdown, no interceptions. And you say, well, Donnie, like, that's just like, that's managing the game. No, it's not. Next week, Devonta Smith is coming back. That offense opens up in the passing game. Now you already said to yourself, we understand the blueprint to success is through Saquon Barkley. Now that passing game deep shot starts to fly. The fact that they went into Baltimore and beat Baltimore at their own game and didn't need Jalen Hurts to throw for 38, you know, let's just say 31 of 38 for 358 and three scores. Woo, rarely escaped that game. No, they had minus 3 yards in the third quarter and won that football. Forget about the final score. One going away. That's what I took away from this game. The passing game will come, but they basically went to Baltimore and said, oh, you stopped the run? That's all we're going to do today, and we're still going to beat you in your own building. Love to see it.
Yeah, the Hurts, Donnie, started off in that game in a fashion that was like, man, can somebody tell him, like, the game is going on, right? But he turned it right on, and he was fantastic in the, you know, kind of, you know, end first quarter, right, first half. But then they also, like, the offense went back into a shell, and that is even, the Eagles didn't play perfect football yesterday, Donnie, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you don't look at that and go, ooh, that's the best they've looked all year. And that is, and it's what I would give a team like the Chiefs credit for, Donnie, is the Chiefs don't ever have to play their best game to win. Like, you don't need to be A-plus level in order to put a victory up on the board.
Yeah.
You know, people talk about what the Lions did to the Texans. Like, they won a game where Goff threw five picks, right? And, like, the Eagles did not win perfect yesterday, but they got as good of a win as you can get. Let me tell you, though, on the other side of that field, Donnie, I'm at a bit of a swing point here on the Baltimore Ravens where on one end, it's like they have five losses. They're not that good. Like, and the record is starting to reflect. And on the other end, I'm telling myself, like, I don't know, man. There's still so much talent on that team. Like, they just need a couple of breaks within the bracket. And maybe I'll load up some AFC futures on them. Like, it's such an odd spot to see that Baltimore team in.
Yes. And you know who they turn into right now? The San Francisco 49ers. Nobody cares what their record is. As long as they're in the playoffs, they're probably going to be favored. They probably should be able to win. And also, is anybody going to say, like, man, Baltimore going into Kansas City, there's no chance they can win? Nobody's saying that. Oh, Baltimore goes into Baltimore goes into Buffalo. No, wait, no, nobody's going to say that. Like, Baltimore on any given Sunday basis lines up with their B-plus game, Kevin. Not even their A game, B-plus game. They're in it all the way to the end. But the Eagles were just equally impressive. And by the way, 9-0 yesterday. Oh, looks like it's just going to be one of those games. Philadelphia Eagles, it's an AFC loss. We're still going to win the division. We probably won't get the one seed, but we'll get the two seed. You know how that sort of boils up. The Philadelphia Eagles planted their flag in the ground. As I said yesterday on Pro Football Today, if the Eagles were to beat the Baltimore Ravens, they're going to get the number one seed. I believe the Eagles run the table the rest of the way out. Like, I think they are going to be the number one overall seed. Now, understand this. Injuries happen. Ridiculous games happen. I get that all the same. Yesterday, you saw Tampa Bay. Oh, man, easy victory. It should be down in Carolina. What a wild game that was, which the Eagles have Carolina next week. Teams are going to rise up and play their best game when you don't. But the way the schedule sets up, it's very favorable to the Eagles, and that was their last charge. On the road against the Rams, then on the road against Baltimore. Yeah. Crazy.
This is where you are better than me at this, is like the Eagles, Donnie, go into a game against a really good team, and I get real chest out like they're going to smoke this team, right? And you'd be like, yeah, Kev, not a good Eagle spot.
Yeah.
Then here's where it flips. The Eagles play a bad team, and I get real nervous that they're going to do something dumb. And Donnie's like, yeah, they're going to drill that team, all right?
Yeah,
like, and if you look, they are home in four of the next five.
Correct.
Forget the opponent. Home.
No airplanes. No airplanes, Kevin. No airplanes the rest of the way.
Donnie, they're going to be laying a field goal plus in all five of their remaining games. Like, but like, Donnie, then you're talking about, what, 13 straight wins to close a season?
Yeah, could be. And by the way, if you want MVP futures on Saquon Barkley, you better get him now. See what our guy Bucky did against Carolina? Wait till you see Saquon at home this weekend. 25 carries, 150 plus, and two touchdowns on the ground. It's going to happen. How about that, people? It's a Monday on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Eagles trying to hunt down the Detroit Lions for that top seed. You also remember, the Eagles aren't the only 10-2 football team in the NFC. The Minnesota Vikings, with an unbelievable comeback yesterday against a game Arizona Cardinals team, which, thank goodness, hit my best bet, over two touchdowns, looked horrendous midway through that game. 1 minute to go in the third quarter, basically 1 minute to go in the fourth quarter. Darnold gets a couple touchdown passes. I almost got my trifecta play, which was plus 650. It was 8 catches, 100 yards, and a touchdown for Justin Jefferson. He finishes with 7 for 99 and no touchdowns, which was perfect because they got in the red zone inside the five. I'm like, I just need one catch, and they targeted Aaron Jones as opposed to, you know, Justin Jefferson to get the touchdown, which, again, I still made money, but, boy, if that touchdown would have went to Justin Jefferson, that would have been great. But the reason I wanted to bring up the Vikings is they are 10-2. Like, they have impactful games the rest of the way. That NFC North is absolutely incredible. Darnold with a good performance, but we started talking this morning on the early line. I was like, man, don't give up on Arizona just yet. Like, that team has a slightly favorable schedule down the stretch with who they play in the division and where they play them. Jonathan Gannon's offense, and look, sometimes you'll admit it. I thought that you would have a big game out of Justin Jefferson. Technically, he did. Didn't do much at the half. Had a nice second half because they were down 2 touchdowns, which was perfect. Thought I could get the 2 touchdowns out of Darnold and not really have a sweat. I had a sweat yesterday. Gannon, as a defensive guy on a team that, Kevin, I thought would be the worst defensive team in football, I'm stunned at the turnaround for the Cardinals midway through the season, where they're actually, look, they lost yesterday. They're still playing really good football and defense, too.
It's such a shame the Eagles didn't win that Super Bowl against the Chiefs, because then I could very comfortably call it the greatest coaching staff in NFL history with Sirianni, Steichen, and Gannon.
Wow.
When you look at some turnarounds that go on. I will say, though, Donnie, Jonathan Gannon apparently doesn't watch old St. Nick's games. Took that field goal to go up 6.
Yep.
Big mistake. And, you know, Greg, I do like, see, these are weird things.
Olsen was on it yesterday.
Hold on. So he was on it, Donnie. But you know what bothers me a little bit? Is everyone's like, wow, listen to Olsen explain this. Like, man, you could have turned into Sports Grid and heard that same explanation. Like, he didn't invent this. Like, this is out in abundance. Yes. But, again, at least somebody explained it there. My little complaint in that game, Aaron Jones over 18.5 receiving yards. You tell me he catches a touchdown in that game and I didn't get my wager?
He dropped a good touchdown, too. Yeah, that is a bad one there. But, by the way, real quick on that Olsen thing, because it's almost like the people coming over to, like, the analytical side, where when I was growing up in the 90s, fourth and a football at the plus 36-yard line was, got to punt that down and keep pin them deep inside the five, coffin corner, which nobody would do that now. Even on your own 35, you're going for it. But it is valid, and it played out exactly, because there are some ways that game, it didn't matter in the end. You don't kick that field goal, and you go for a touchdown, and you don't get it. It's a three-point game. Did you see coming down the football field on a 4th-and-7 that Minnesota would absolutely kick the field goal, but instead went for the conversion and got it to Justin Jefferson? And then you would say, okay, that's a tie football game, but Arizona still has all their timeouts and like 2 minutes on the clock to go down and kick their own field goal, as opposed to now you give the other team 4 downs, which is a huge advantage from 3 downs, and knowing they absolutely have to score a touchdown, things do change up. So what's interesting there, and that is a changing of the guard. It's like old school is always kick the field goal, go up, force them to score a touchdown, but now necessarily in this new day and age of offense, it doesn't make all that much sense at that point. Now, let's get to some other pressing needs that we saw yesterday on the football fields exactly. And that was Sunday Night Football. That was Josh Allen being the absolute ultimate weapon in bad weather, which somehow the Buffalo Bills still might be able to get that number one seed wrestled away from Kansas City. You want to say, and if I'm Buffalo, I'm like, you know what? We're going to create our own atmosphere here. We are going to just pump in snow and blast that football field, because nobody will beat the Bills in that type of environment. James Cook looked like he was just born, bred, thoroughbred to run in there. And then you have Josh Allen throwing, catching, and passing a touchdown pass, which is ridiculous on the end of it. But I don't even want to focus on Buffalo. I just want to focus on the shell of the San Francisco 49ers, what we're seeing now. They got hammered in that game, and I know it's upsetting that Christian McCaffrey went down with an injury. I made no money on that game last night because of Kyle Shanahan. That's back-to-back weeks in step-up spots for the Niners. They got absolutely thumped. This wasn't 17-13 this week, 14-13 last week, Just wait till we get our injury-riddled team back here. They got thumped back-to-back weeks and look like, Kevin, they didn't want to be there last night.
73-20 over the last two games between the Niners and the Packers. It goes much further than that. They brought the Chiefs into their building. They were 3-3, and all they had to do was get a little Super Bowl revenge. Purdy played the worst game of his season.
Yeah.
Follow-up game, Donnie, is they hosted the Dallas Cowboys. They won that game 30-24. The more you think about it, yeah, that wasn't impressive at all. That was a dead man walking Dallas. They hit the bye. They come off the bye. What do? Struggle to beat the most banged-up version of Tampa Bay that has been out there. The leading receiver for the Bucs in that game was Rashad White with 39 yards, and yet we were still sitting there watching that game play out, the field goal victory for the Niners. They then lose to Seattle by three in more embarrassing fashion, like all their divisional losses this year, destroyed by Green Bay. Destroyed by Buffalo. They'll play the Bears. They're supposed to beat the Bears, but they get the Eberflus bump. Not so sure. They play the Rams. They're supposed to beat the Rams. Yeah, but they've been supposed to beat the Rams. Then the Dolphins, then the Lions, then the Cardinals. There's a lot of talent on the roster. They can win any game they play in, it feels. To me, though, I just sit and I look at this team, and you know, you sent a text last night that it's probably not true, but it feels on the board. Like, have we seen the last of Christian McCaffrey?
Yes.
And
sure.
Donnie, he's not the only one. Like, are we sure Trent Williams is going to keep going? Trent Williams was on his last leg while he was still in Washington, it felt like. And then all of a sudden, it's like, no, never mind. I'm the best left tackle still. That's fine. Yep. But I don't know how much longer Trent Williams has. And you know that they were going to do another song and dance of them trading Debo this summer. I mean, are we really sure that this team is going to pay Brock Purdy record-breaking money under these circumstances?
Yeah, let me just respond to that, too. I talked about it only this on the early line. I said there's two quarterbacks on that field. One is worth every penny, but also the highest-paid quarterback next year, it's going to be Brock Purdy over the guy you saw in Josh Allen. It's just the nature of the beast. It doesn't mean he's better at that point. But when you have a quarterback that you're going to pay $60 million to and is absolutely ineffective, if there's any weather conditions like that, you got to be kidding me. And don't tell, they didn't have enough talent out there to compete with the Buffalo Bills. Who the hell do the Bills have on offense outside of Josh Allen? Stop the madness here. More hot takes, absolutely, coming up next right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Shout out to the chat box out there. Eron's in there. Chris Brady's out there. Chris Warren's out there having some fun trading some information. Once again, Sports Grid on demand. Hit the subscribe button. Get involved in the radio shows. You can watch live. You can get involved in the shows. You know I love shouting people out. You got some good stuff out there. Let it rip at this point. But we are talking NFL football and the downfall, possibly, of the San Francisco 49ers. 5-7. They're only saving grace, Kevin. They play in a bad division. A bad record division in the NFC West where, yes, there's still a chance, but anyway, indications, the San Francisco 49ers aren't going to be healthy anytime soon at this point. So maybe it's finally where the Niners don't have to play an extended playoff run, could go into the offseason and a lot of question marks. And they told you for a long time, we can't pay anybody because Brock's going to make $60+ million a year. Your thoughts on the rest of the season for the Niners? Because the books still have them as the NFC's favorite. I didn't check. Maybe they do.
No, they have plummeted them finally. They stand alone, by the way, with the worst record in that division now, Donnie. At 5-7. And again, for the Niners, it's not just being 5-7. It's that they've lost to every single team in their division already.
Yes.
Yep. So the divisional record is going to really make it difficult on this team to figure it out. Tiebreakers wise, they'd have to get on a real run. And we've talked for a while that the schedule, it doesn't pick up. It just doesn't. You know, so if you're San Francisco, again, is Trent Williams being rushed back? Is Nick Bosa being rushed back? I don't know.
No. I would never.
It doesn't feel like it. It just doesn't.
And McCaffrey, let's get you back for the final game of the season to knock off like the Rams or whoever. No, there's no reason for those guys to play again this year. You regroup in the offseason. It's not even like they are right in the mix of their window, per se. But it feels like that window is slowly now going to start to close on the San Francisco. Now, Ayuk will come back next year. When? Who knows? How healthy will he be there to start the season? We don't know that. Debo looks like an absolute shell of his former self. Christian McCaffrey might have the best 1.5 year runs in football we've seen with a great trade. Oh, see that, Kevin? You can't trade for a running back. Nonsense. They got 300% more than what they possibly thought they were going to get back out of McCaffrey. You'd make that deal every single time. But that defense is starting to get a year older and expensive as well. So times are going to change. Let me talk about a couple things here because we're going to get back to the NFL Monday Night Football tonight. But college football, the extended run, right? Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You had some interesting storylines all across the board. Now, maybe none more interesting than Michigan and Ohio State. 13-10 final Michigan, where the only reason Ryan Day has a job today is the fact that it's 2024, Kevin, and not 2023 back to 1950. He would have lost to Michigan. He would have been fired that night because, number one, they wouldn't be going to the Big Ten championship game, and that four means they would not going to the college football playoff because there's only four teams. He would be gone. But now they go, we can't fire a guy that's going to make the playoffs here at this point. So saving grace is for a lot of head coaches moving forward. That includes Ryan Day in Ohio State. What an embarrassing – like, Miami was bad. The most embarrassing performance of that day, by far, it was Ohio State.
Not even a question. I mean, not a question. Listen, I know you were talking to BSS this morning. I'm sure he brought it up because he's brought it up many times. And I don't say this as like a negative. Like, I think it's a really – it's something that, you know, he's so entrenched in Big Ten football. But there are a number of players who returned to Ohio State. Said, I'm not going to the draft. I am not leaving Ohio State without beating Michigan. You know, the phrase he always says that they use is never again. And, you know, to some degree, this team's goal this year, Donnie, more than winning a national championship, was beating Michigan.
Yes.
And they lose at home.
The easiest year to do it. The year that's like, you know what? It's like Kevin, they're coming 6-point favorite, 8-point favorite, 9.5 points. Like, ooh, still going to be a tough game. No, this was the game that you were supposed to say, we don't have to pass the football. We're going to beat you 28-3, and if we want to embarrass you, maybe 51-3 on this because that's how important this game was. Michigan came in with a quarterback, Kevin, that threw for like 60 yards and two interceptions and beat you in your own building. And then goes, you know what? Here's my Michigan flag. Bam! Let me plant it out here. Let's get into a brawl. Let's embarrass you guys even more. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we understand we're not going to the playoffs or anything, but you know what? We still beat you, and it's going to be like 2,200 days since the last time you beat us. And next year, we're going to buy a new team and good luck beating us again. Craziness.
No, it is. Now, the season can be salvaged because Ohio State's going to be in the playoff. And if you think that's bad, you know what? Tired of the respect. You're an idiot. I saw someone die. I almost went crazy, started quote tweeting and firing off. I said, not worth my time. Wow. I was saying, wow. Maybe 12 was too many because they're maybe we should have something like, I don't know, a 4-team playoff because like Miami was losing.
You're an idiot out there, Kevin.
You're an idiot.
Give me back to the BCS. No, you know what I want to do? Eliminate college football championship weekend and add another round of the playoffs. We'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, yeah, a little college football talk here. Penn State doing what they always do. Got a bad team on the ropes. Shove that dagger in late, as you saw my guy do once again. But look, can't fault him because he's right. Mm-hmm. You have no idea how some of these football playoffs are going to work out at this point. But if it was anybody but Penn State, if it was, I don't know, Notre Dame, and Freeman got up and goes, hey, look, man, we had that loss to NIU. He would never say this, but I'm just saying like what the press conference would look like. Coming down close, like we're not going to take a knee on that pick six. Like we're going to run that all the way back, even if the other team didn't try to tackle us and the game was over, we still want more points on the board. It makes sense. Notre Dame. Not really like, hey, let me just throw up. But Penn State is my favorite team of all time. Boy, if you got them at -21.5, -20, whatever it is, you know late in the football game where there's 6 minutes to go and the backups are in, every other team you say, you know what, turn the TV off. I didn't get my cover. Now, you watch Penn State all the way through because they are trying to put another dagger on your head. And he is right about this one thing, the preconceived notion about college football, which, again, it's just a Penn State thing because they catch the heat because they're the ones always doing it. Like, hey, my third string guy, like, he works hard. Like, he wants to have fun. Like, he wants to throw 7 yard outs and maybe a deep pass and say, I might never start for this team, but this is my chance to shine. I worked hard. Like, I can't fault him. But the fact that it's James Franklin in Penn State does get a chuckle out of me because, yes, you expected him to be throwing the football dead. But then Franklin countered back like, man, you still had your starters in. I'm going to put a dagger in there on you as well.
Like, I tell you, man, listen, I'm no James Franklin fan myself because I hate that Penn State team. Like, I got, like, Penn State coming out two in the rankings, I might vomit. But Donnie, when he, like, I don't know, like, my threes are in. Like, why don't they get to play? Why do I just have to hand it off every play? Like, I think that's totally valid. I really do. Now, I don't think you should be running trick shots, right? Flea flickers. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I think that stuff's a little nonsensical, and he's guilty of all that. But the simple premise of, like, look, man, if my threes are in, we're going to call a normal game. I think I'm okay with that. Now, it's a little weird from a betting perspective, though. Now, yeah, because with Penn State, you know what you're getting, right? But a lot of times, like, you get into that late fourth quarter of a blowout college game, you're like, there's no more points coming in this game. Mm-hmm. Like, I've had a few unders this year where I got people texting me, like, we're in trouble. I'm like, yeah, let's just give it a second, all right? All the scoring's about to stop here. Let me ask you something, though, Donnie, because you said it on the way out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you actually think there is a chance they get rid of the conference championship games?
Yes, because the money is still going to be there. You remove those games, which I'm going to say this from the common sports fan, Kevin. And let me do this and do it appropriately here. Let me go to college football. We'll go to scores for this weekend, not the past weekend, coming up.
Yeah.
UNLV Boise State, I don't give a damn about that football game. And if I'm speaking for a lot of people on Friday night, they're not telling their wives they're staying home to watch UNLV Boise State. Case in point also, Tulane Army, nobody gives a damn about that football game. Not a single person, again, unless you're betting it. Let's get to Saturday. Iowa State, Arizona State, God love you guys. Top 20 matchup. I could give a damn about Iowa State and Arizona State. Georgia, Texas, sign me up. Penn State, Oregon, sign me up. Clemson, even SMU, you might be able to sign me up. But do you see what I just did there? Like, hey, what a great weekend. No. There's a couple good games on championship week. So if we remove the situation and say we're going to go 12 teams to 24 teams and play an extra week, why would you not do that? It's more money, Kevin, than the college football championship weeks, right?
So to me, I don't think I go to 24, Nani. I think you go to 16 and you remove the buys. And that way teams 1, 2, 3, 4 also are given home field games, right?
Yeah.
Teams have to travel to Eugene, right? Whatever it might be. But I do think the argument... So here, you know what I disagree with, Donnie? Boise State UNLV, to me, is a bigger game than...
Yes, it's, but it, you... I'm saying you, as the college football guy on the show every week, Gentee's in the game, UNLV, you understand those two teams. I'm talking about the fellas. Hey, boy, what are we doing Friday night? Hey, man, we got to watch that. You and no, nobody's saying that. No, that's what I'm saying. Whereas if Georgia, Texas was Friday night at 8 o'clock, yes, you'd be like, yo, hey, we're going to the bar to watch that game. Yes.
But here's the thing is Georgia, Texas doesn't really matter.
No, it
Oregon,
doesn't.
Penn State,
it doesn't really matter.
So that is the difficult situation that they have found themselves in, and I think that's...
Yes.
But if you get rid of the conference championship games... You still need something, Donnie, that will, because the Big 12 is never going to agree to that if that's the only way they get their seat at the table, right?
Which again, we have to change the expert, because it's the same thing, Kevin. I guess you can have a legal argument, like the Pac 12 still has Oregon State. Like, what? No. Not till the next contracts are drawn up. We are still a Power 5 conference. See what I mean? Like, we have to end that thought process. And also, the extent you want to have bowl season, that's fine. None of these teams in the playoffs should ever be in the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Citrus Bowl, whatever the hell bowl you want to put them in, because college football is going to figure this out. When they play round number, as long as we get good matchups and go, why don't we just have an NFL style? Higher seed, home game, unbelievable atmosphere. You don't need the buys at that point because that is your buy. You get home games here, the higher seed. You're all, why even play at that point? Because we're going to play at the, well, we're the home team, Kevin, in the Rose Bowl. That's not a home team. Like, it's not like saying, let's just say Alabama's in the Rose Bowl. They're the home team. All right, Alabama, you get all 85,000 tickets for your own fan base. You all show up and nobody else can get in. That's not what they do. It's like 50-50 and then whatever corporate people jump into that spot. I do think that's the next wave, though, because I can't. And I know eventually people will come over to my side. Like, bowl season could still be there. But 16 to 24 in a playoff,
Have Miami go to a bowl game without Cam Ward, without Martinez, without the Restrepo. That's fantastic. Have them celebrate at the Orange Bowl. Nobody cares about. Take the bowls out of it. Keep it on home. Like, can you imagine, Kevin, the NFL? Like, hey, by the way, Eagles are going to play round number one in the division round, but round number two and three are going to be at a neutral site. Get the hell out of here. It's the stupidest thing. Remember the NFL was floating that around, neutral site, AFC?
Yeah,
like, you're going to play it in goddamn France. You know what I mean? Stop the madness. Thank God that they didn't push through. But the NCAA football, they need to get on board with that. More teams, put them all at home. And as I said this, like, Boise State's going to get a win, Kevin, and get a bye. Did you ask Boise State, would you rather have the bye and play in the Fiesta Bowl where you're going to be outnumbered 35-1 with fans, or would you rather have a home game at Albertson Stadium on the blue turf in freezing cold against Alabama, but it's round number one? In a heartbeat, they'd take that scenario.
It is actually, Donnie, it is going to end up one of the biggest shames, and they'll never be able to like get it back. That had the format been the way we discussed it, we would have had a power team going to the blue turf.
Oh, but
like, we would have had a rock star team going to the blue turf.
Yes.
Which is such a shame that that's not what we're getting. And I like, but instead, again, there's clearly some fixing that has to be done, though. Like, the idea that Boise State will be finished ranked ahead of the loser of Georgia, Texas. Ooh, we messed that up. That looks dumb, right?
Yeah.
We made a big mistake here with our format. But again, I'll just say, like, if people think that these games, I'll make this point to people, Donnie, and this is probably the last time we should have to do this, but it won't be.
Mm-hmm.
People told us the regular season was going to matter less. Michigan beat Ohio State, right? And guess what? It doesn't matter. Michigan's not going to go to the playoff, and Ohio State's not going to miss the playoff. And there is not a single game, maybe all season, Donnie, that generated more buzz, more conversation, more online reaction than Michigan, Ohio State. When those big noon numbers come in, they'll be like, yeah, we will always be big noon kickoff, because the expansion did not stop Ohio State and Michigan from actually mattering, because of course it didn't stop that. Come on now.
Yes. So again, more meaningful football late in the seasons, we take that. And what meaningful football means, like, superstar players are still playing, which, again, we will get to the college football playoff, and everybody in there will play their superstars, and the superstars will play. Wait to see bowl season this year again. As a case in point with Miami, nobody's playing for Miami, and nobody should play for Miami because their season is an effect on. Bowl season, so much fun. Sooner than later, they will knock bowl season down. They'll make more money, and it'll be way more advantageous. So looking forward to that, but we will be swinging it back over to the NFL. Monday Night Football game tonight. How exciting. Jameis Winston is in. He should keep it a little bit exciting. And also the Denver Broncos playing much better football, including their quarterback over the past 5 to 6 weeks, Bo Nix. So maybe we get some offense there. College football continues to roll along. It's championship week this weekend. And you're right. Georgia, Texas, no sweat. Penn State, Oregon, no sweat. There is a little bit to that where it's like these games don't mean anything, even though you do want to win that football game. We'll see what happens. NFL talk next. Donnie and Kevin right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So a little bit of a wrap up in the NFL yesterday. Switch it over to Monday Night Football tonight. They're dead. They're buried. The handicap yesterday was this. Oh, hold on right now. Jets, -1.5. Who are they? I don't care who they're playing. Not taking the Jets. Only to see the Jets have a 21-7 lead, driving for another touchdown. A tip ball interception, which looked like a DB as a defensive tackle running down the sideline in Leonard Williams, who was absolutely fantastic. Like, I don't know where the athleticism comes from a D tackle to do that, but he did it. Seahawks 26, Jets 21. Mm-hmm. Jets announced this morning Aaron Rodgers will still be their starting quarterback this weekend. Here's my question. Not the game yesterday, which I don't know who the Sharps love the Jets. It was what they were. They were winning, and they did, and that's what the Jets do. They're in close game. Hey, bounce here, bounce there, Kevin. 9-3, not 3-9. Right, yeah, we get the picture. They're 3-9. It is what it is. What do you do with Aaron Rodgers now? For me, the objective for the Jets is lose out, cut him. It's going to cost you a lot of money in dead cap space. But you will draft a quarterback in the top five, and that quarterback's price will offset Aaron Rodgers, and away you go. This, you cannot have him come back to the Jets next year. Are we in agreement with that or no?
because the price is astronomical to cut him, and I don't think any price tag is even above what I would do.
Yeah, but Castagne, we've also seen big money eaten before. We have. Like the Eagles ate a lot with Wentz.
Yeah,
when they got rid of him.
Yep.
It changes things. So the reality to me, Donnie, on Rodgers more than anything, and this was the case the second they fired Saleh, is he ruined the vibe. You know, I don't care how many people want to try and pretend that he is not responsible for that. Listen, I'm not telling you he's maybe the number one, but if you don't think he had a hand in that, I don't know why you're lying to yourself about it. I'll keep it straight like that. The vibe couldn't be worse. You could hear it. Like Breece Hall's like, this has been the most trying year of my life. Mm. They showed Garrett Wilson ran a route on the goal line yesterday. Like,
I didn't watch any of that game, really. Go ahead. Tell me about it.
Yeah, got a level of separation, Donnie, on the goal line that is not possible. Like,
yes.
You are not supposed to be able to be 10 yards away from a guy when you ran a route on the five. Yeah. Rodgers throws the ball nowhere near him. Like,
I was surprised he didn't throw it to Devontae at that point. Like, oh, look, you're open. That's your job to get open but not catch the football. I'm looking for
correct. Like, it's all terrible. Ulbrich completely lost in over his head. Glad they needed to get a look at him. So, yeah. And look, they fired Joe Douglas. This is a full, clean house situation. I think the bigger question is, does this franchise believe that they can draft a rookie and, let's be honest, Donnie, start him day one because that's what they'll do?
Yes.
Or is there a veteran-level quarterback out there that they believe could steady their ship? I don't even know where to begin, honestly. I mean, oh, my gosh, stop. Like, the funny thing is, like, two quarterbacks that could be available at the end of this season are Sam Darnold and Geno Smith.
Ugh.
Like, but they would never bring those guys, right? Like, those guys would never go back there.
Fold.
Like, do they pay? Are they the team to step up and pay Brock Purdy? I don't think so. Like, financially, Donnie, they probably cannot do anything other than draft and start a rookie quarterback.
Yes. Now they have a very rich owner that can front load a lot of stuff. So the salary cap is really fictitious in the NFL, but for the future of the team, it feels like, and it's hard to do, like, because it's not as if the Jets just came off 7 years of playing great football. They knew this day would come. Like, no, they have 7 years of horrendous football. And it's like, how did we find ourselves in getting way over the cap and still stinking every single year? So it's that fresh approach. And it always starts with the owner who meddles in certain situations, but it's going to be who's that head coach and who wants to be the head coach of that team. I'll tell you right now, like Bill Belichick's like, you know what? I got 4 more years left. I want to coach or 3 years. I'll go back to the Jets. It'll be big money, but I can't. He's going to go back and like, I need Aaron Rodgers as my quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he can't move in the pocket. Those that, like, you go back and watch him on the Green Bay Packers, let's just say 2012. You couldn't sack him, not because he had a quick release and his arm was dynamite, but he was quick in the pocket. Sidestep, flip, sidestep, flip. Side, he can't get out of the way of anything. If you just bring like 6 pass rushers in the pass, it's like, I know splits is coming. Watch this. Flick of the wrist, 10-yard gain. Try that again. I'll do that again. Now you bring the heat against Aaron Rodgers, crumbles in the pocket like a cookie.
Do you think, so I think the more fascinating thing is where Rodgers is next year. And so I did the show, Donnie, last week on the Tuesday, the one that had to play over the weekend. So I just spent an hour talking about quarterback landing spots.
Yes.
And if the Niners pass on Brock Purdy and they say, you know what, someone else can pay him, I wouldn't be stunned if Rodgers went to the San Francisco 49ers.
Mm.
Because I think he would play for them for any
price. $3 million.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
And I think if you're the Niners, maybe you go, you know what? Do we want to draft again, or do we want to just see if this works out for us? Because you're still going to be looking to win a Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not saying it would work. I just think that it's on the board if they let Brock go.
Yeah. No, it's interesting because it is that price when it's like Russell winding up in Pittsburgh for like $1 million or whatever it is, because you get the benefit of that contract getting cut.
By the way, we haven't even talked about that. And listen, you know what? Your legs should be tired from the level of victory laps because Fields has never thrown for 400 in a game. I still don't really know why they don't let Justin Fields like try to throw it when he was in, but it doesn't really matter. But here's Don, it doesn't matter. Like Russ did it. That Cincinnati team, they are a disgrace. They are an absolute disgrace. And here's what I will say. Look, the defense is obviously the big problem. I think you could see a lot of people fired off that coaching staff. But I cannot give that offense a full pass. Like, I was for a while like, man, I wonder if Burrow can get in this MVP race. Like, man, like, you were down 100. Like, there were big turnovers that, like, it's just every single thing about that team has not worked this year. And it's incredible that the approach from ownership was, well, we're not going to get rid of anybody because we could win this year and maybe it'll be worth it. And now you just have people who probably don't even want to be there. And you're losing the whole – I mean, what a disaster that is.
You both wide receivers should just sit out the rest of the way and say, go ahead and take me to court. You don't want to pay me. I don't want to play at this point. Let's all move on. We'll see what happens. By the way, Temple hires Casey Keeler from yesterday, Kevin. You know a little about Casey Keeler to Temple? I'll tell you next, along with Monday Night Football.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
By the way, Kevin, do you know Casey Keeler? Does that name ring a bell?
I do not. Did he play with Joe's Lisi's?
No, he did not play with Joe's Lisi's. But again, like I like to play like, you know, What's that, 6 degrees like Kevin Bacon? You ever hear that?
Six degrees of separation. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So when you take a look at this, like in college, I always get a kick out of like when my freshman year we played Springfield, the center for Springfield was John Cena. Did I know that at the time? No, I didn't know at the time. But it's
John
just
Cena.
Yeah, John Cena was the center for Springfield, Massachusetts. I had no idea, of course. And why should I know him as a college football player? But then my senior year, or junior, excuse me, we played Albright College, or Albright University, maybe what it is now. One of the coaches on that staff was Matt Rhule. Matt Rhule is on that college staff on the other side. We end up beating them in that game, so it's fun. And then the Longo, who I just missed at William Patterson by 1 year. I would have the time of my life catching 50, 60 passes a year instead of for a career at that point. So I miss him. But also when I was at William Patterson, we played Casey Keeler at Rowan. He was Rowan's coach when they were going to the national championship game after national championship game. He left Rowan to go to Delaware. Had a lot of success there with Joe Flacco, was the head. Joe Flacco's head coach was Casey Keeler. Then he goes to Sam Houston State and performs extremely well there. Coming back home to Temple, it's one of the, I even joked, and again, Temple football is not big nationally, but like the question here now for Temple was, are we just going to drop football now? Like it just doesn't work. And, you know, maybe it's not financially feasible to drain on the, like this is the perfect signing for Temple. So just wanted to bring that up. And I probably wouldn't have unless it was a guy that I used to play against technically as a coach. I get a kick out of still seeing these guys' names like float around 25 years later at this point or longer. So, there you go.
I got to give, I'll give Casey Keeler some credit, man. Whatever he's working to keep that hair not gray is working well. He does not look 65. Man. I give him some credit
by the way,
for that.
It's that guy's James Franklin over there, man. He used to run it around every year, man. Every year, man, shoving that dagger in late in the game. But you know what?
Tough.
Where's that? See this picture right here? You might even
You
might even see Casey Keeler in the background because I caught my record-breaking catch against Rowan. So he's so silly.
There you go.
Maybe if I call him, hey, remember that time back in 1999?
Yeah,
that kid that caught.
He's like, he'll be like, I didn't like that you caught that, and that's why I scored again on the next possession.
Exactly. All right, Monday Night Football tonight. Your thoughts here because we're going to cover tonight. The boys will be on set, live and ready to go. Denver Broncos and the Cleveland Browns. For me. I think Jameis can get you in trouble tonight, Kevin, if I start there in the game situation. Not for his yards, not even for touchdown passes, but if you think they can win that football game. I think it was one of those last stand efforts. Thursday night football game, you know you have the advantage at home. It's snowy. It's a crazy game. He came back and won that one. I think they plummet back down to reality just like they did the previous two games before that against quality opponents. Denver, I don't want to lay 6.5, but there's put it this way. There's no way I'm taking the 6.5 tonight. How about that?
Mm-hmm. I would not see. I probably the other way. Like I'm definitely not laying 6.5, but I'm probably not going to bet the Browns. Mm-hmm. My take on this game, Donnie, because I haven't figured out all the props and things of the nature, is Sean Payton sitting at 12-1 to win Coach of the Year. cannot possibly be the number, especially if they win tonight.
Yeah.
Now, I know that these awards are a little silly, but Dan Campbell's the favorite. Stop. Come on. That's ridiculous. Everybody loves that Lions roster. What are we doing? They were in the conference championship game last year. Mm-hmm. O'Connell and Darnold deserves a lot of credit, but we know Brian Flores is as much a part of that story as the offense, and there's still a lot of talent there. Tomlin, plenty of good arguments. I'll give you that. No doubt about it. Harbaugh, I get it as well. I really, really do. Dan Quinn, you're losing me, right? That's more about the offense. He's defense. But Donnie, Sean Payton, that's a bad roster with a rookie quarterback nobody believed in.
Correct.
They might win double-digit games this year.
Yeah.
He should not be sitting at 12-1 for that award.
Yeah, I don't know. That's the worst award in sports is the Coach of the Year award in the NFL.
That's a good point.
Because you bring like hey, like what sounds like a Coach of the Year? Decent expectations coming into the season, about to be fired, and then maybe rip off 13 straight wins. Yeah, I don't know how good a coaching job that was. But then the good coaching jobs are like, and again, I'm not trying to bash or anything. Like it's like, hey, well, you know, Tampa Bay might get 9 wins, and well, that's an unbelievable job, Todd Bowles. It's sort of like it doesn't make sense. Like, I had to throw that one in there. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Now, how'd you go Tampa?
Hey, man, just the first thing that popped into my mind was Tampa, man. Come
on, that's good. No, yeah. That's real good. No, that's really good. But, no, but listen, to Donnie's point, like, the idea Dan Campbell's plus 170 and the Sirianni's 75-1.
Well, we didn't expect anything out of Detroit this year. Is that what they're telling us? You know what I mean?
Spent the whole year as the favorites.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go. JP behind the wheels of steel, Donnie right side, and Kevin Walsh. Busy day today at the grid, apparently. We'll catch you guys tomorrow for another edition of Moneyline. See you later.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.